Let's hear from the Word of God. We'll read this morning from Psalm 22. Over the last weeks, we've been looking through a number of the Psalms with this heading of hungry for God. We come to God wanting to know Him, and we've been looking at a whole number of themes over these weeks. We've been looking at being what it means to long for God. We've looked at what it means to wait for God. We've talked about thanksgiving, a whole number of themes that we've looked at. And this week, we want to tread on this theme of being abandoned, because it is such a common thing in the Christian life. It's a normal part of the Christian experience. So let's read these words together from Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call out to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and they were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I'm a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Don't stay so far from me. Trouble's near. No one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in like lions. They open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. We need to read Psalms like that. If we're going to talk about being hungry for God, we need to read scriptures like that one. You will notice that I've cut the psalm partway through. We will read the rest of it before the end of the service. But if we're going really to follow the Lord, if we're really going to get to know God, we have to understand that the Christian life can feel like that reading. We have to understand that that is normal. If you feel like that, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It means you're following the Lord, because the Lord, as he was on that cross, cried out, verse 1 of that psalm, my God, my God, why have you abandoned me? And it's not so much a request for information as a sheer cry of pain. Why? Why have you abandoned me? Why are you leaving like this? And there are other verses in the psalm that we read which spoke about what was going to happen to Christ on the cross. One of them is picked up in the Gospels, that they did actually gamble for the clothing of Jesus before he was crucified. The fact that he was pierced again really did happen. But the person who wrote Psalm 22 was calling out to God in utter desperation. Now, I've started this week's notes by writing, sometimes, and sometimes for long periods, we can think that God has abandoned us. Now, when I say that, please let me say, all the way through the Psalms, we have been learning that God is here. All the way through these Psalms, we have been learning that no matter what we do, we cannot be separated from God. And of course, the person who writes Psalm 22 believes that. He's talking to a God who is there. God has not disappeared, but God is doing nothing. And here is this man who is sinking. He's dropping down, and he is desperate that God will do something, and God does or appears to do nothing. Times like this can be incredibly hard. And some of us, perhaps most of us, know what those sort of times look like. And also some of us know what it's like to have those times last for a very long time indeed. So one of the things that Psalm 22 is teaching us to do is to vent our pain before God. It's teaching us that we can cry out to God and express exactly what we are feeling. As I was saying, I think it was last week, God doesn't want a polite relationship with us. God wants a real relationship with us. He wants us to be able to tell him exactly what is going on. And if we feel that God is doing nothing, then that's what we should say to God. God, why are you doing nothing? Because that's what real relationships look like. I think when we try to be polite with God about this, things can actually go quite seriously wrong. When we try to be polite, we say, well, we ought not to say that. I really ought not to question God. And then we actually stop communicating with God. Or perhaps you come into church and you think, well, everybody else looks happy here. No, they're not all happy. They really aren't. So this psalm is giving us the permission to tell God exactly how we are feeling. And the reality is, for millions of people in the world today, their experience of God is an experience of feeling abandoned. So Jesus cries in the words of this psalm as he hangs there onto the cross after he's been deserted by his friends, after nails have been put into him, after he's been whipped, after he's been blindfolded and mocked, after he has cried tears, which according to Luke's gospel were so intense that they were like blood coming to the ground. Jesus goes through that incredible pain and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if Jesus cried that prayer, so can we. Now, if you're not feeling abandoned by God today, if you think everything in your life is good, great, praise God. I'm not recommending feeling like this. But it really is important that we know that when we do feel like this, we can approach God in this sort of way. Having said that, it's really important to notice that verse 22 of this psalm that we're going to read in a few moments' time changes this psalm. Now, I had one of these moments this week when I was preparing for this, and I noticed something that I don't think I've noticed before. I had known for a very long time that the opening verse of this psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me, was called out by Jesus from the cross. What I hadn't realized before this week was that the second part of this psalm, which begins at verse 22, there is this sudden gear change. God has acted. God has done something. Or maybe God actually hasn't done it yet, but the psalmist has come to real faith that God will do it. Psalm 22, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will praise you. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews says that Jesus says that now. The resurrected Jesus is now in the business of praising God. The resurrected Jesus is now in the business of declaring God's name to us. The resurrected Jesus is offering praise to God with us as we worship today. And the resurrected Jesus is selling the same sort of testimony that the psalmist said, that yes, I was, it seemed, forsaken by God. It did seem to me that God was doing nothing at the time, but God did intervene. God raised me from the dead. And as the writer of Psalm 22 says, God was not doing nothing. And Jesus today, raised from the dead, invites us to say, come and join into the victory. Yes, come and bring your pain. Don't fake it. Don't make out that you're not in pain when you are in pain. But Jesus says, I've been there. Jesus says, I've been through what you've been through. In fact, I've been through worse than you've been through. Far, far worse. And God has raised me up. And that's what he's going to do to you too. We believe in a God of resurrection. And it says, in the assembly, I will praise you. Now, I was provoked by Patrick at worship group rehearsal and in a subsequent email this week to do a bit of word study on that word for praise. And I discovered something. Let me share with you what I've discovered since these notes went to press. That, you know, when we were talking about Psalm 103 and it talks about praise the Lord, it's sometimes given as bless the Lord. And the idea behind blessing the Lord is about kneeling down before the Lord. This is Psalm 103. So actually, in kneeling down before the Lord, we are making ourselves smaller so that he can be bigger. The wonderful thing in Scripture is that actually God blesses us as well, that God stoops down to us to make us bigger, which is a fantastic thought. But the word in Psalm 22 for praise, and it's, you know, when it says hallelujah that we were singing, praise Yahweh, praise the Lord, the word for praise there is a word that comes from a word meaning to shine. It's about shining a bright light on something, and it's a very enthusiastic word. It's a word that means to make a big deal of something. In fact, you could translate it as to go crazy about something. It's a word that was actually used to describe insanity in the Old Testament. You know where David pretends to be insane before the king of Gath? Anybody knows that story when he's scared for his life? He pretends to be insane. The word that is used is the same word as the word for praise. So if I may translate it in this way, in the assembly, Jesus says, I will go crazy for you. You know, as people in some cultures would say, I will go mental. So that might not be quite politically correct. I'll go mental for you, God. How else are you meant to do? Jesus, he's on the cross. He's dying. He's in pain. He's in agony. He's screaming to the Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? All the agony, all the anguish, everything being laid on him. And he dies and they take him into the tomb. And he rises. And then the celebration. And then the praise. And then the making a big deal of it. And as we come to take bread and wine today, yes, we want to be real about our suffering. Yes, we want to offer our pain to God. And if today you are in pain to God, and as you go through the notes in your own time, if you're feeling in pain to God, don't hold back. Don't think that this is wrong to give God that pain. Tell him about it. And there's a point in the notes where it says, you know, this is your time to ask God for what you need, as the psalmist does. The psalmist is very blunt about that. But as we take bread and wine, we're not just remembering the sufferings of Jesus, we're remembering the victory of Jesus. We're remembering that for him, the suffering is over. We're remembering that for him, this is about resurrection life. And Psalm 22 will make the best sense to us when we realize that this story is our story. That our pain, that our anguish is caught up into his anguish, and he is raising us from the dead. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians about saying, we went through this incredibly hard time. But as we went through this hard time, what we learnt to do was to trust in the God who raises the dead. We offer our praise in the assembly. And God's plan for his whole creation, the suffering Jesus went through, the suffering you go through, the suffering the world go through, we don't understand it, we don't get it, but what we believe is that this is part of something which is going to end at something that is wonderful. So I put in the notes about not being afraid to express your pain to God. He doesn't need to hear the nice version of who you are. He needs to hear the real version, because that is what he can do something with. And if you feel that God is not looking after you like he used to, tell him so. He can handle it. He's big enough to be able to do that. So looking at the... Oh yeah, sorry, something else I wanted to mention. I think this is in the notes. Verse 6 says, I am a worm and not a man. Now, I don't hear people today saying, I am a worm, but I hear a lot of people saying very, very similar things. I am useless. I am rubbish. I feel like I'm worthless. Now, there are reasons that people say that sort of thing. It may be because of intense suffering. It may be because somebody has manipulated us into saying that sort of things. Tragically so. If you feel that you are worthless, if you feel that you are rubbish, do not be ashamed to say that to God. The psalmist says it, and you can say it too. Be very bold about how you feel about yourself. Don't worry too much about how you ought to think about yourself, but say what you actually feel. If you've been mocked, if you've been put down, if somebody has hurt you, you know, if somebody tells you that you are no good, offer it to God. Because God can take that pain and God can make it into something. So for the exercises that I'm asking you to do, I've put some either ors in them, because I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel abandoned, if you feel that God has let you down, I want to give you a route through that to pray, that you can actually offer that sense of feeling to God. And my guess perhaps for some of us is that if we feel that way, we found it hard to pray. So I'm trying to provide a model that we can use to pray at that time. But I've also given some options that really focus on Christ, that help us to see what Jesus did so that we can become part of that story. So on point number one, you might want to talk honestly with God about your own feeling of being abandoned. Or you may want to concentrate on the way Christ was abandoned and think about him saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then at the second point, if you feel small or worthless or useless, here's an opportunity to pray to God about that. Don't hold back on that. Or at that point, you might want to pray for people who today are being mocked or who are suffering because of their faith. Because in Psalm 22, the psalmist is being mocked because of his faith, and that is still obviously happening to many people today. Or you may want to pray for other people who feel mocked or small or worthless. And then at point three, it really is around saying to God, this is what I want you to do. And again, let me encourage you, be blunt. You know, sometimes people say, well, is it okay to pray this, you know, whatever it is? I have a great answer to the question, is it okay to pray whatever? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Of course, God might want to come back at you and correct it. But is it okay to pray it? Yes, it is. He is your Father, and he wants to hear from you. So that's the first part of the psalm.
And verse 22 of Psalm 22 is a sudden gear shift. Having spent 21 verses talking about his pain and his agony and calling out to God, something happens in verse 22. We're going to read the rest of the psalm now. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him, for royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. And another wow, and another amen, because it changes. And just as this story of death and pain and suffering changed to the great and glorious resurrection, so for the writer of Psalm 22, he realizes that God has been listening, and God acts, and God changes things. If today you are in pain, we have a God that can change things. We have a God who can make things happen. I can't promise when that is going to be. But the story of death and resurrection says that God is victorious. And just as Jesus spoke, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Today, he declares, as the writer to the letter to the Hebrews says, he declares to us, verse 22, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will praise you. And he points us to this incredible and amazing God. And he invites us to come in to his story. And we have this call to praise God today. You might have your own testimony about the time that God has turned things around for you. And I want to encourage you during this week to be thinking about that. I want to encourage you to be thinking about the victorious Jesus. Remember the Jesus who still has all the nail prints and the marks of the spear on him. That Jesus, the one who went through the pain, speaking to us from after the resurrection. And as I put in the notes, I want you to enjoy the upbeat way that the psalm ends, and to look forward to the day when the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray will finally be answered as we pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, it is awful in the world today, but our God is the victorious one. He has a son who is raised from the dead. So what we're going to do for the last minutes of our service today, I'm going to ask you to try and make the gear shift. If you've been talking to God about your pain, I want you to try, and I know this might be really difficult, but I want you to try. I want you to see beyond your pain to the resurrected one, to the one who says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters today, the one who's declaring God's name to us. So we're going to sing a couple of songs, and remember, it talks about praising God. And that word praise, it means to shine a bright light on something. It means to make a big deal of something. It means, if we may put it so irreverently, going mental about something. Because it was used, the word was actually used.